neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
Hello and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is episode 139. I am Shannon and today I'm joined with Pete.
Hey Shannon.
How's it going? We haven't talked in a while. Not much
good
news going on.
Yeah, it's been a slow month. I mean, we got a few stories for tonight for sure that we put together. We haven't seen Sue recently either, you know.
Yeah, she's getting ready to go on a nice trip that's not Disney related.
Off on another trip, and it seems like every time we record, so good for her.
yeah, more power to her. We do have a few stories, and there's one, I think, pretty big story that did make a lot of headlines, even non-Disney news sites. But before we get into that, let's give a shout out to our sponsor, which is Monera Financial. So if you are looking to possibly refinance your current contract, or maybe you're looking to purchase a resale contract, definitely hit up our friends at Monera Financial and they can help you out with all your DVC financial needs. I guess we will go ahead and get started. And our first story is that Disney has made changes to the DAS system, which is the Disability Assistance. Is it the assistance system or?
But I wasn't sure if the last letter is system or not.
I just know
definitely
it's DAS,
around.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely around disability assistance, right?
Yeah, disability assistance. And then on both coasts, changes to the DAS registration process are being rolled out at Disney World on May 20th and Disneyland on June 17th. If you are visiting the parks before these changes go into place, what you have already learned about the current registration process will still apply when you take your vacation. However, guests who have medical conditions that are not developmental disabilities will be accommodated in different ways. It will be beneficial, especially at Disney World, to request a DAS via a virtual chat. Cast members from both Florida and California will be joined by employees from Inspire Health Alliance who can help determine the approval of a guest request if needed. Guest services will not be working with DAS requests in person starting May 20th at Disney World. Disneyland there will continue to be an on-site person, but it is recommended to use pre-setup if possible. Current DAS holders will need to reapply, you've always needed to reapply. However, the reapply was 60 days. Now it's 120. The DAS party size is now limited to 4 guests with exceptions for immediate family members. So I know that was a big thing where people were saying, well, if I have 4 kids, you know, that's not fair. If your immediate family member is 4 kids and 2 adults, then that is going to be accommodated. I believe before it was 6. You just can't bring along a bunch of extra guests, which I had heard of people abusing it. And that was, you know, it was kind of everybody tagged into their DAS. Mm-hmm. So I think that limited to the 4 guests is good. You will need to renew in 120 days. Again, like I mentioned, it used to be 60. The DAS actual function of setting return times while in park using My Disney Experience app will remain the same. The idea behind this is to cut down on abuse and overuse. DAS use has tripled over the last 5 years, which is crazy. And you put a note here that it's not a coincidence that this is the same time as the elimination of the free fast passes. And as the price goes up with Genie Plus, you see the abuse of DAS. So what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, I think some of it is abuse, but I think some of it is people that could get by with the old fast pass system. And now that Disney is charging for that system and the new system isn't as good as the old system either, they're now signing up for the DAS system in order to do what they used to do. So I think some of that gain is people that legitimately need it, and some of it is abuse of people that don't want to pay for the Genie Plus.
Yeah, yeah. I would say that. Now, I had heard, you and I had talked about this because I had heard rumors that this was changing, and the rumor was that they were going to be doing a third-party system. However, that rumor started, and then there was a lawsuit against Six Flags, which is still going on. So the lawsuit against Six Flags has to do with the third-party system. So I think they changed their course of action. They knew they needed to take some sort of action, but I think they've held off on the third party because of this. I don't think the third party is off the table. I think that they're going to probably wait to see how this is just speculation on my part, but I think they'll see how this lawsuit plays out. I've read the lawsuit. It doesn't seem to have much merit from what I think, but I am not a legal mind, but just kind of reading what their claims are. But I think they're going to see how this works. Now, I've heard things where, you know, the consequences, if you lie, you will be banned from Disney World or Disneyland, right, and including and forfeit your annual pass, any tickets, you will still have to pay that. And the thing about the abuse is people have also bragged about it.
Right.
People have bragged about it. There are TikToks, there are Instagram reels, because if you are someone who really likes clicks, if you say, here's how to get Genie Plus for free, that gets clicks. And so there's all these videos, and some may have legitimate claims, but their catch and their lure, clickbait, is that you can get how to get Genie Plus for free. And people then learn about the system who probably didn't really look into it, and then lie. My understanding is Disney knows this is happening. They have saved these videos and they know who these people are. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if we start hearing some people getting banned early on to make an example, is what I would say. We'll see. I think that time will tell, but I've seen those. I'm not even on TikTok very often. I've seen the videos. So, I mean, have you seen them?
I have not. I've heard about them. I haven't actually sat and watched them. You know, I'm one to say, like, Disney has systems, and there's things, you know, if you want to take advantage of systems, like back when you could use the late fast pass return, I was all for things like that. But to me, this is a system designed to help people with disabilities, and to abuse that to try and con your way into using that system is pretty awful. I'm sorry. It's not something that I would do, regardless of saving money on Genie Plus or whatever. It's just, it's kind of tasteless. And I do hope this is an improvement. I do worry that, especially by removing the ability to do it easily day of in the park, I think that's the biggest complaint that people are having, that you got to arrange it up front. But I'm sure there's people that aren't aware of these things. I mean, just because Disney can announce things all they want, and yet numerous people go to Disney with no clue what's going on.
People go to Disney and ask where Harry Potter Land is.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. I think my daughter was Animal Kingdom. She said someone asked where the King Kong ride was. So. Yes, very, very common. And people that legitimately need it will show up at the park. They won't have the proof that they need. In the general things that we're talking, I didn't see a good explanation for what exactly you have to do to prove it. I assume you have to have some kind of doctor.
No, there's no documentation. Absolutely no documentation. Yeah. So that's the thing, is because they're not doing the third party, because the third party eliminates it. I mean, they're HIPAA, it doesn't really apply to HIPAA. The third party makes it a little bit safer, but because there's no documentation needed. But one of the things is they kind of clearly stated that it's really talking about autism and developmental disabilities.
So it's not one of your family members in a wheelchair. You're going to get the system.
Which has been the case.
Yes.
Because I know there was a big article in, I think it was Business Insider, that I just read. And it was somebody, a family, they're spending $9,000 on Disney, and they had this big article of how their trip starts on May 20th and how they never would have spent all this money because she has a physical disability and she can't stand. So she has to have a wheelchair. And my thought when I'm reading this article was, you never would have been approved anyway because you didn't qualify. Right. It's just that now they've clearly spelled it out. Where I think they're really going to take notice is adults stating they have developmental disabilities. I think with kids, you're going to have a little bit more leeway. But I think when adults start, I think they're going to start pushing back. And that's where you'll start to see some pushback.
Well, and the abuse affects everybody, because it basically you're getting a lightning lane when you're in the using the system.
Yeah.
And so if you're abusing it, you're taking an extra spot in the lightning lane. You're making the line longer for the people in the lightning lane. You're making the line longer for the standby people, because there's more people in the lightning lane. It really is an issue for, again, if it's being abused. And I'm not saying that people that need it shouldn't be able to get it. They certainly should. I do understand why they want to try to vet it better. And also, we should say, like, if you're in a wheelchair, they will still accommodate you. They just don't accommodate you with the DAS system. I believe they still will have things where they'll, like, give you a pass to come back or things like that. Or if, assuming the line can't accommodate a wheelchair, a lot of the lines are now designed to be able to be wide enough that a person can go through it with the scooter or the wheelchair.
Well, I have a friend who her son is a little bit older than Ryder, and he was involved in an accident when he was a year. So he's paralyzed from the waist down, and they have a stroller. It's just a regular stroller, but it has a red tag. So it has a red tag that's a wheelchair, so they can go in line. They actually don't qualify for the DAS. And even though he's only 8, he's never qualified for the DAS because he can go in line. He is able, because of that tag, can take that stroller in the line. Right. And then they're able to transfer him to the ride. Those types of things. They do have accommodations for people who can't stand in line or physically can't wait in a line. You know, there's accommodations. People that have kids that are autistic, and I can only imagine how difficult it can be. I have a friend that just went on his Disney cruise, and her comment was, I wish they had the DAS system for the Disney cruise, because their oldest son, who's autistic, wasn't able to meet any of the characters because the lines were long.
Because the lines are so long, yeah.
I'm very hopeful for this. And I hope that those abusers, especially the abusers is one thing, and that bothers me. But the abusers that brag about it, really, I can't. Yeah. We're a G-rated podcast. I can't say how I feel about that, because that just, it's really upsetting, because why? I do wish they were asking for documentation, because I think asking for documentation, I do HR for a living, so that's my real job. I live by documentation, so I wish they were asking for documentation. I understand why they're not, but I'm very hopeful that this will change, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out after May 20th.
Yeah, I think until it goes into effect, we won't really know for sure how it affects people.
And I think, honestly, I think it's probably we're going to hear more from Disneyland, because most of the TikToks and reels that I've seen are from the West Coast. And I think there's just more of that. There's people that tend to abuse the system over there more, just because there's people that are more regulars. Well,
I was going to say there's also more influencers, I think,
yes,
in California.
Well, I mean, we have a trip now in July. We'll go maybe 2 years at this point, and we'll go for 6 days. We'd budget for Genie Plus. Now, maybe we don't get it every day, depending on the day, but for the most part, we get it every day. We budget for it. But we're only going every 2 times a year at that. So maybe 10 to 12 days per year. If you are annual pass holder in your local, and especially in California, then you're probably not going to budget for that. That's probably a part of it too. So I'm hopeful. We'll see how it plays out. And I would just say, if you've ever maybe fibbed a little bit, I wouldn't take that risk personally.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't risk being banned.
I don't want to be banned.
Yeah.
Yep. And so our second story is, we had more information from California on the Disneyland Forward project. There was a vote. We knew this was coming in April, but on April 16th, the Anaheim City Council voted unanimously to approve the plans for Disneyland Forward, the massive $2 billion expansion planned around Disneyland. A second council vote is actually needed, I don't quite understand this, to finalize the plan, and that's going to happen in May. But once that passes, Disney will be able to start moving forward on these changes. This is expected to be the biggest change to the California parks since the opening of Disney's California Adventure. It's not quite as big as a new theme park, but they are talking a new parking structure, new hotels, new themed lands that would be kind of placed on either side of the Disneyland Hotel. They'd be like closing some roadways and everything like that. So it'd be a pretty big project. I imagine if this passes, we're going to hear more about a timeline at D23. I think there's going to be quite a bit coming out of D23. And unfortunately, well, this is me forecasting. I think for Florida, I kind of picture we may only get details about the Animal Kingdom expansion. I kind of feel like it's possible that they might not go into too many details on the Magic Kingdom expansion, but I think we'll get a lot of the plans coming here in California, because I think with this being approved, it's going to move forward fairly quickly, would be my thought. So I don't know. What do you think?
I'm the last person to ask. I it's one of those things, like I read it and I would agree with you. I think news about Disney World comes fewer and far between. So I would say more D23 will be mostly more about Disneyland.
And I mean, also it happens out in Anaheim too.
Right.
So they're playing to the locals. So usually Disneyland gets more announcements at D23 as well. But yeah, I think about $2 billion. I mean, clearly that's a lot of money, but to think in concepts of what it is, the Star Wars land, which was a very large land, cost supposedly about $1 billion to put in. So you got to think it's an expansion of bigger than that scale, right? Bigger than Star Wars land here. Putting in hotels is not, even if you put in another one or two hotels, a hotel is like $200 million or something like that. It's not a lot of that. Yeah, only.
Yeah.
but still, you know what I mean? Like the hotel and the parking garage. Actually, the parking garage is in addition to the $2 billion. So that doesn't even count in that. Yeah, so we definitely could see some expansions. And for DVC owners that are thinking about buying at the Disneyland Hotel, it also will kind of put the park closer to the Disneyland Hotel, so making it probably even more attractive to own there. The Disneyland Hotel Tower is very nice, but it doesn't have the perk that the Grand Californian has, which is I can walk right into one of the parks. We may see that change for the Disneyland Hotel, and you may be able to walk right into one of the parks. That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be great. Because I stayed at the first time we stayed at the Grand Californian, and that was awesome.
Yeah. We haven't stayed at the Disneyland Hotel. We're doing that in about a month, but I love the Disneyland Hotel style more than the Grand Californian. But man, staying at the Grand Californian is really awesome. So our next story comes from DVCnews.com. And they share their monthly data on direct DVC sales. And this is the data for the month of March. We don't share this every month when they come out with it, but you know, we're right at the beginning of when the cabins went on sale. And there was a little bit of data for February, but there was only like 9 days of February in which there were cabins that were on the rolls in the state. This is an entire month of tallies for that resort. The resort only sold 12,326 points, which is about 94 contracts. And that brings the total points sold between February and March to only 19,000 points, which is less than 0.7% of the 2.8 million points at the resort. And doing a rough tally, if this month is any indication, the cabins will take just under 20 years to sell.
Wow.
So it is possible we could see a bump in sales next month because they did put an incentive into April. So we could see April sales do a little better. But I just found it interesting. I think us talking about the cabins all this time, not to say that they're bad, but it's like there's, to me, especially with the resale restrictions.
Well, the resale restrictions, and then also, isn't the maintenance really high?
And the maintenance fees are really high. It's not a great place to own, in my view. And I think that we're seeing that in the point sales. Now, I've kind of all along, I wonder if Disney is taking a little bit different attitude with the cabins. Because usually with DVC, they want something to sell fast. I've kind of wondered if this was more of a case of, well, we know it's not going to sell fast, but slowly we can sell these cabins and that will reduce the cost of operations for Fort Wilderness because we're transferring those costs to the DVC members as opposed to for us.
Right. And these cabins were already in existence and they can rent out whatever is not selling to cash.
Right. And they're going to continue to rent out the other cabins to cash. I kind of suspect that this is not something that they're necessarily expecting to go on a tear. But even that said, I can't imagine that the first full month they were looking for 12,000 points in sales, because a lot of times a new resort opens up and you get 100,000 points in sales. Bright side for Disney, they did have decent sales for Riviera last month with 72,000 points, which is actually above the previous 12-month average. And it is about the average pace at which the resort has sold since 2019. So Riviera is actually selling okay. And at this pace, it would sell out in about 3 years. I've said it all along. I think Riviera sold a little softer than they had wanted, but it was never going to be a resort that was going to sell out in 2 or 3 years. It was going to be a 5 to 6.
If they had priced it better, yeah.
If they had priced it better, it would have sold out faster, right? But I think...
If they had priced the points better, not the actual... The points per room.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But I mean, if you think about it, it's 2019. There's like 6 or 7 million points there. That's a lot of points.
Well, plus it opened in December of 2019 and then the shutdown happened.
That's a reason for the soft sale. So again, I think to me, Riviera, I wouldn't say has been a hit for them, but it was not a flop either. Like Aulani, that is, we're past 10 years of that resort. They're still only like 50% sold or something like that.
Wow.
It is good to remember that they're coming out with a Poly resort soon, and that may cause Riviera sales to slow when you have two choices. You know, people might go for that Poly Tower if your choice is on the Magic Kingdom monorail loop or next to Caribbean Beach. So
Right, Caribbean Beach and the Skyliner. But no, I think that's really interesting. Now the cabin, so they opened up earlier this week for reservations for DVC owners that don't own at the cabins.
Right, yeah.
So I was able, and I had talked about this, we had a reservation for 6 nights at a deluxe studio at Old Key West. And we don't have any other trips planned. So while it was 53 points more, it was still, we ended up switching it. Now, the first night I checked like right 5 minutes before it went live, all my dates were available. Soon as I went, I was able to modify, the first date was gone. So I went ahead and booked the other 5 nights. I waitlisted the first night and then I just kind of kept stalking, and about 45 minutes, about 8:45, that first night popped up again. Yeah. And I will say a lot of rental companies, because it's people that were renting points last minute, there were so many rentals for the cabins available. It was crazy. I was just seeing like post after post after post on Facebook. It's frustrating, but I understand why. Like if you realize like you can't use your points and that's really the only thing you can get because everything else is sold out. It ended up being 124 points for 6 nights, which I think if we had done a Lakeview studio at Bay Lake, it would have been 117 points.
No, they're not priced bad from a point standpoint for sure.
Well,
I don't think they are.
No, but I think, you know, you're not, they're the cheapest one bedroom you're going to get. So you're going to get a full kitchen and you do not get a washer dryer. There's a lot of, you know, pros and cons to it. And obviously a con is you don't have to get a golf cart, but you probably should. And renting a golf cart, I already reserved it. It's $420 for the week or for six nights, not even for the week, for 6 nights. That just kind of adds on to it. But I'm very excited to stay there. We stayed there when Ryder turned one. That was the trip that convinced us to purchase DVC, because I was like, wow, having a kitchen and having space in a room was a game changer. You know, going to Disney more enjoyable. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited to try them out. But I wanted to mention that when I wasn't able to get that first night, I was like, well, let me see if I can, how much it will be to rent the first night to pay cash. And you actually can't do that until September 27th. They're not open for cash reservations until September 27th. Yes, you can book cash the old cabins because they're not all converted yet.
Right.
So yeah. I could have rented, you know, gotten cash for a current cabin. The new DVC cabins are not available for rent until September 27th.
And people got to remember, yeah, there's 350 cabins there. They have only released like somewhere 30. Around, yeah, somewhere between 30 and 40. I don't remember the exact number, but they've only released like 35 of those cabins to DVC. So there's only 35 cabins a night that's bookable. I really do think, I mean, you did the right thing to like jump on it right at 7 months, because I do think a lot of people will be interested in trying this, and I'm not surprised sales aren't good, but I do think people will want to try it. So I think at 7 months, it's going to be one of those places that's frequently available in the 11 month window, but is gone at the 7 month window, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So my understanding is it's the 23 loop, the 2300 loop is the one that is the first one. And there's 30 cabins in that loop. Because I did ask, and fortunately, that is right next to, if you're at one end, the end closest to Magic Kingdom, there's a bus, one of the bus stops is right there. We're going to be staying there, I think, the third week that it's open. So very excited, you know, very excited. I'm probably going to go horseback riding. I want to do the trails one day. Ryder and Ray have already told me they are not joining me. So if anybody's listening in the Orlando area and wants to go horseback riding the week of July 21st, let me know. I'm excited. And I think Chad is going to be there the first night it's open. So we'll have some reporting for our My DVC Points community.
Yeah, we'll definitely get some reporting and some videos. And of course, you're going to report back to us when you get back from that trip. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. So very, very excited about that one. And then that's my last trip for a while. And I don't know when we're going to go back. That's the weird thing. Because usually we have an idea of when we're going back, but I don't know. It might not be till next summer, which is weird. So we'll see.
Yeah. And this next story in the same way hurts me to hear, because we don't have a trip planned to Walt Disney World right now. And we always go for food and wine.
And actually, this kind of affects us because I thought maybe we would get the beginning of it, but nope. And that is that Food and Wine has been shortened. Now, it's kind of going back to what it was pre-pandemic, because it was lengthened quite a bit, you know, after the pandemic. But Disney has been known to stretch many of their most popular events as long as possible. It's why you can all celebrate Halloween in mid-August. However, this year, Disney has announced that Epcot Food and Wine will run from August 29th to November 23rd. This is almost 7 weeks shorter than in 2023, when the festival started July 15th. It has been a few years since the festival started as late as Labor Day weekend. No reason was given by Disney, but perhaps they have seen softening attendance in the summer for the festival, while it remains extremely popular during the fall season. And I will say, in the summer, it's really hard to eat something like warm and hot, you know, at a booth. Yeah. That I can understand. The usual parts of the festival, the food booths, Eat to the Beat concerts, and Remy's Hide and Squeak scavenger hunt all were part of the announcement. The new festival center was also mentioned to be parts of the event this year. Now, did it always, I feel like it didn't run to the 23rd. So it's going a little longer. Because last year, I want to say it did the same weekend that we were there. So it was like November 12th it ended.
Well, it used to go till Veterans Weekend. And the last few years, they extended it to like right before Thanksgiving week, the week of Thanksgiving. This almost seems like it's going to butt right up to Thanksgiving. I'm not sure what day Thanksgiving is this year.
It's late. It's the 28th.
Oh, is it late? Okay, so this is probably the same thing. It's probably going to the weekend before Thanksgiving. It is later than normal, I will say that, or at least later than it used to be. But, I mean, that really only adds a couple days at the end versus the 6 weeks that are removed from the beginning. Yeah, if you were going during the summer and thinking you were going to get some food and wine in, you're not.
But, I mean, yeah, because we're there until, like, July 28th, I think. And I thought, well, maybe we'll get the first day, but nope. And that's fine. you know, that's fine. That means hopefully there'll be less people at Epcot for us.
You also got Test Track closed, so.
Yes, yes. But kind of talks about that, you know, Test Track is closing. I think its last day open will be June 16th. So Tiana's Bayou Adventure media previews have now been scheduled. So it's not an official opening date, but media sites have let it be known that the media previews for the rethemed Splash Mountain will occur on June 8th to June 11th. Media events for attraction openings are usually done post-CM and either right before or right after DVC and AP previews. While the opening date is not yet set, it seems likely that a late June or early July date will be announced soon. I am going to go with June 19th. It's going to open. I think they're going to open it on Juneteenth. I just feel like they're
I could see them doing that. And based on the media previews, I literally, like every day this week, was thinking, oh, we're going to get this on the show this week. They're going to announce a date. Yeah. We're recording this on a Thursday. Pretty rare that they announce big things on Friday, which is partly why we usually are able to record on Thursday and not miss too many big news items. But I really do think the next show we record, we will have the dates. I can't imagine this isn't going to be announced in the next week or two at this stage, because we're getting so close.
Oh, when we talked about Test Track closing, it's closing. Mm-hmm. It'll be officially closed on the 17th. And I said, I think that means that they know Tiana's is going to be open by that time. So I think opening up on the 19th means there's like only 2 days, you know, a Monday and a Tuesday. And that also means that they'll probably be doing previews. So there'll probably be soft opening. I had mentioned my son loves Test Track, and he's very upset that we were going to be missing Test Track. I've scheduled a surprise trip for him. I think it's going to be first week of June. Yes. Fortunately, he doesn't listen to the podcast. So we're going to schedule. And I'm kind of hoping that there'll be previews, because we're going to drive up. He has a award ceremony for his class that morning. So after that, we'll drive up and go to Orlando. And then so maybe we'll at least do obviously one day at Epcot, but I could stay a little longer the following day and go to Magic Kingdom if there was a preview, which would be awesome. Yeah. So I'm hoping, because that's probably going to be like the week of June 3rd that we'll be up there. So fingers crossed. I'm hopeful, not optimistic. Yeah, I think there's a chance with the annual pass holder and DVC previews. It never works out with the day you're actually going, because they're not, especially DVC, because DVC, it's usually like 2 or 3 days and they're scattered. But yeah. I mean, we'll see. Hopefully, fingers crossed. But if not, we're going to be there in July. So I think my hope was initially that it was going to be open when we went in July. And now that looks like that's going to be the case.
I would be very surprised based on your dates in late July. Yeah. I feel 100% certain you're going to see it then. I think
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, well, I am too. I really love that movie. And, you know, I loved Splash Mountain. But again, to me, it's about the same ride. I'm going to miss the songs. You know, I love the songs that were from Song of the South that were in there. But in terms of like the Brer Rabbit story and everything like that, I don't really care that it's going to be a different story.
I was going to say that. You know? I didn't have a connection to that. I remember those stories when I was a kid, but they weren't something I connected with. And Ryder,
right,
he knows the song, but he has no connection to Brer Rabbit. So I'm not upset about that. I just hope it's done well. That's the only thing I hope. And then if it's done well, then great. I'll be very thrilled.
So. I kind of wish they would, in the music loop in the area, they would still play the Laughing Place song and things like that. That would be kind of cool if you could still hear the music sometimes when you're walking through. As I said, I'm good with the changes. One of my favorite rides. I seriously doubt they're going to screw this up. It's going to be the same track. So it's really going to be more or less the same ride, but with a different story. And I think that it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it. But it's going to be a while before I get to ride it.
Well, and I was going to say, this kind of goes back to our first story of the DAS and why they're making those changes. Mm-hmm. Because I think they really wanted to get ahead of those changes before this ride opens. Make everything full circle. But very excited. We'll keep you in the loop as far as when the dates are announced. As always, make sure you check out our community on Facebook, My DVC Points Community. Mm-hmm. We post information. As a reminder, if you are headed to Disney World on June 4th, the Typhoon Lagoon Moonlight Magic opens up. I think the open registration is opening up on May 2nd for people that are staying on site, and May 9th. So that is coming up.
Oh, good catch.
Yeah. So if you're staying, just remember that May 2nd, which I believe is next Thursday. And then the following May 9th will be for people that aren't staying on site. And then we have some nice reviews from iTunes.
Yeah. And, you know, just so everybody knows, if you give us a review on iTunes, it helps us be seen. So if you like our show and you want to share it and you want the show to keep going, go on there, give us a 5-star review, and eventually we'll even mention your review. And the first one we have was from R. Pompetti. I think that's Rachel, right? I think she's one of the members on the DVC forums. So she said, thank you for the latest DVC news. I just listened to the latest episode. Thank you so much for bringing us the latest DVC news and giving us your thoughts on these items. Listen to each episode when it drops. So thank you, R. Pompetti. I really appreciate that. We both do. And you want to do the other one?
Sure. We have Lindsay 072911. Love this podcast. And it says, I love this podcast, especially being a DVC member myself. I went back and listened to all of the old episodes. Wow, that must have taken you some time. Yeah. And really look forward to new episodes when they download in my podcast lineup. Peter and Sue have the most calming voices. I know I probably don't. And I really enjoy listening to them while driving or at work in between patients. Please keep doing this show. Well, we have every intention of to keep doing this show. So thank you so much, Lindsay, for listening. We really appreciate it. Also, as far as these episodes are on, as well as other things in the My DVC Points network, are also on our YouTube channel. So we have a YouTube channel. So even if you listen to it on your podcast, go to the YouTube channel. You don't have to rewatch it, but leave comments, like it, like those posts, because that also helps get it into other people's feeds. So maybe if you watch another Disney channel or a Disney YouTuber or Disney podcast on YouTube, then it will suggest our podcast to other people that watch that podcast. That's kind of how the algorithm works for YouTube. Yep. You know, definitely do that. That definitely helps. We appreciate it. And we want to get the news out there to as many people as possible.
For sure. That's pretty much the size of it. You know, the more people that we can reach, the better it is for our show and for our sponsors as well.
Absolutely. And your trip is coming up, right?
We are, I guess, less than a month now, middle, late May.
Okay.
We'll be heading to California. Well, we're actually staying at the Disneyland Hotel for 9 nights.
Wow.
But we have 4 nights. We actually are only doing 4 nights at Disneyland and California Adventure. And then we're going to drive to the San Diego Zoo. And one day we're going to go to Universal Hollywood. Okay. Looking forward to checking out Nintendo Land there. And also they're doing like a special kind of expansion of the tram tour for the 60th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Looking forward to that too. And a couple other things. I was looking at the list of rides and there's a lot of things there that are the same on both coasts. And not to say we won't ride it, but you know, riding the Minions, the Despicable Me Mayhem ride or whatever isn't something I necessarily feel like I gotta get on that again. But
they still have Jaws though, right?
Well, Jaws is part of the tram tour. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a number of things that are, and actually out there, like the Kong thing is part of the tram tour. I think the Fast and Furious thing is part of the tram tour. So like you go through the back lot, but then you like do a little bit of a ride and then you go through another section. So it's all incorporated. Their Jurassic Park ride is actually Jurassic World. So they have that ride's different. I think the Harry Potter stuff is more or less the same. I think they just have the Forbidden Journey ride. And I think that's the same, but there's probably half the stuff there is different and half the stuff is the same as Florida. So, you know, we'll be focusing on the stuff we don't get when we go to Florida. I think not a big deal if we don't ride Transformers or Minions or something that we've already ridden half a dozen times the last few years.
Oh, that sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. Nope. Well, you know, I'm sure you'll update us when you get back from that trip.
Yep.
Before we go, we want to say thank you to our 3 sponsors, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Marnier Financial for their continued support of the My DVC Points platform. And with that, I will say see you real soon, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.